Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Scran, the podcast passionate about the Scottish food and drink scene. I'm your host, Rosalind Erskine, and this week we're getting very excited about one of the international cultural events of the year. The Oscars takes place this weekend, and an amazing turn of events, two Scottish businesses have reason to celebrate. Fetcher Chocolates and the Gin Bothy will both see their products feature as part of the famous Everyone Wins gift bags, which the nominees receive. These bags have an approximate value of $125,000 and include such exclusive contents as luxury skincare and a lavish holiday in St. Bart's. I spoke to Fiona MacArthur from her business in Campbelltown, who owns and runs Fetcher Chocolates, about this exciting development, as well as how she's got to where she is today. And when I say she's gone all out to capitalise on this opportunity, I really mean it. You'll hear how in our chat.
Yeah, so they had no idea I was going to do this at all. They just saw the chocolates and said, could you provide us with chocolates for the goodie bag? And I said, yeah, that's fine. And then immediately I was like, I'm going to make special chocolates for this. So I've made flavours specific to the movies that I thought were going to be the most highly nominated and thankfully turned out to be the most highly nominated. So I've got ones for Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Poor Things, Barbie, Oppenheimer and The Holdovers.
I also caught up with Kim Cameron, owner of the Gin Bothy, about the pinch me moment of being asked to contribute one of her gins to the gift bag. She also tells me the great story of how she went from jam making to gin making and how both businesses are reaping rewards.
My personal favourite is probably the Negroni, so I've got to recommend that.
Yeah, a classic. I feel like that's something that Bradley Cooper might have.
I would love Bradley Cooper to have that. Imagine, he's just sitting there with one Irish Scottish gin and a cocktail. I mean, who would want more than that?
I'm now joined by Fiona MacArthur of Fetcher Chocolates in Campbelltown. Hi Fiona, how are you?
Hi, yeah, I'm good, thanks.
We're here to talk, obviously, about chocolates and your business and everything that's happening. But for anyone that doesn't know, could you just sort of take us back to how it all came about for you and your business?
Yep, so I started it about 4.5 years ago now. And I was working in a friend's sweet shop and I had customer after customer come in and ask for really specific things. Like, can I get something that's gluten-free or can I get something that's dairy-free? And nobody was really making these. And so I was looking through the wholesale catalogues and I thought, really, nobody makes these. So someone should try. And then it just kind of fell into place that I got a chance to try and I was like, you know what, I can do this. And I just kept going and it's just gone crazy.
Was it always something, so you're working in a friend's sweet shop, was it always something you wanted to do as in working sort of food or retail or that kind of industry?
Not really, no. I've had like a million different kinds of jobs. I've done loads of different things. But no, so before this, I was making wedding cakes and birthday cakes and stuff. So I was kind of in the same sort of zone with foodstuffs and sweets and things like that. But yeah, the chocolates was just a kind of almost accidental thing.
Yeah. But it's working out really well.
Yeah, I definitely. It's gone from strength to strength, so I can't complain.
Is there any sort of family history of like working within sort of food or baking or like, is there any sort of past that you were harking back to, or is it just your own, you know, totally your own thing?
No, I think I probably got it from my mum. So growing up, we had a tea room, or my mum had a tea room. So there was always like fresh cakes and like tray bakes and everything around, and she was always baking. So, you know, from when I was absolutely tiny, I would be helping out in the kitchen, making scones and things. So yeah, I think it's probably come from her.
So your chocolate company is, it's all sort of free from chocolates, and that was obviously a conscious choice in the beginning because no one was obviously doing that. But is it more difficult to make chocolates without, you know, all the things you would expect, such as like, you know, milk or any sort of like animal derivative?
It's not really all that much difficult. Like I can buy in stock from like my chocolate buttons that I get, the curvature that I use, I guess, and it's already got rice milk powder instead of dairy milk powder in it to make it creamy. But then in terms of the fillings, like the ganache insert inside and things, it's more difficult because all the recipes online, well, most of the recipes online are like add butter or add cream or things like that. So it's been kind of a lot of trial and error to get the recipes right without those kind of things. But I wanted to keep them as simple as possible. So a lot of the chocolates that I do are water-based ganache and things like that. So it's kind of more simple and it sort of lets the chocolate flavours and any other flavourings I want to add come out, as opposed to like adding extra flavours that the dairy would. So yeah, no, it's been a little bit of a challenge, but it's been good.
Did you ever have to take up any formal training, or have you basically just sort of trained yourself with what you know you can't use?
Yeah, so I've sort of just taught myself. Yeah, so there's a couple of people I follow on Instagram and, you know, social media and YouTube and things, but mostly I've just trained myself. I did a training course down in London that was 2 days long, and the way that they did things was, it was just a home chocolatier. I mean, the way that they did things was completely different to the way that all the people I'd seen on Instagram doing it did it. And I thought, the way that Instagram people are doing it looks much more natural to me. So I'm just going to try and do it that way. So yeah, the course wasn't super helpful, but it was good to get to work with chocolate and get to know whether or not I would enjoy it or not. So,
yeah, I suppose as well to know what you feel comfortable with too, to sort of work out your process.
That's kind of the biggest thing. There's a lot of kind of trial and error to figure out what works, what ways work. And especially even with, you know, my most recent batches, I've start off being like, this is the flavour I'm aiming for, and I would do it one way. And then as soon as I'd finished it, I'd be like, next time it would be much easier to do it a different way. And so you kind of learn as you go.
Oh, it's really interesting. For anyone also that doesn't know, because I know you've been in the press quite a lot recently, and we'll come on to that, what does Fetcha stand for?
Fetcha is free from ethical, tasty, chocolate, handmade artisan, or art. And that's all the kind of points that I wanted to hit when I started the business. You know, I wanted it to be free from, so dairy and gluten, soy and things like that. Ethical because it's vegan and all the packaging is plastic free, so it's really like better for the environment. And then we plant trees with every order now as well. And tasty because I wanted the flavours to really come through, and I wanted that to be the big thing. A lot of chocolates that you get that are free from are quite kind of boring. I shouldn't say that, but they're really not exciting flavours. They're either not exciting flavours or they're way too exciting. And so there's not a kind of middle ground with people just making nice caramels and stuff. So that's kind of why I went with that. And then chocolate and handmade because I make everything myself still, and art because I wanted them to look pretty. So yeah.
And talking of flavours, how did you come up with the flavours? And are you constantly evolving that sort of, you know, thought process?
Yeah, so I do a lot of trial and error to find new flavours and things. But yeah, when I started the business, I had basic flavours in mind. Like, I knew I wanted to do a salted caramel, I knew I wanted to do a basic chocolate mousse. So I've kind of gone on evolutions of those a lot of times. But yeah, with this new recent batch, it's all been more different flavours than I would normally do. So it's been a little bit of a little bit more fun to try and get the flavours to work.
You've got whiskey flavoured ones as well. Was that quite a natural, because obviously you're from Campbelltown and there's the distilling heritage there and the distilleries that are there. Was that quite a natural progression, and was quite easy to sort of work with them? Because I know that Glen Scotia anyway sell your chocolates in their shop.
Yeah, Glen Scotia have actually been really supportive. It's been fab. Yeah, so it was pretty natural. We have a whiskey festival here in May every year, and just coming into my second year with the business, I thought, you know, I'm going to make some special whiskey flavoured chocolates for the whiskey festival and just see how they do. So I did a Campbelltown Distilleries collection that is one from Glen Scotia, one from Springbank and one from Kilkerran. And they were phenomenally popular. I made just a small batch and they just went instantly. And I thought, oh, these might be quite popular year round. So I kept doing them. And yeah, they've been really popular. And then last year, Glen Scotia asked for if I would add in more of their flavours. So I now have a full separate Glen Scotia box as well. And then I've got two new whiskey flavours I'm thinking of for this Campbelltown Malts Festival this year.
Nice. Do you struggle to get your hands on the Springbank to use in the chocolates? Because I imagine, you know, there's quite, well, I don't know, obviously you live there, it might not be hard to get, but, you know, people queue up and go mad for it. So are you still quite well stocked?
I noticed this just the other day. So I went for a distillery tour at Springbank the other day, and there was lots of people queued up outside, and it was a random day at the end of January. And I was like, why is it so busy? And they said, this is what it's like every morning. I was, oh my goodness. but they keep some aside for wholesale, like so they can sell to the pubs, or there's a girl in town that makes tablet. So we all, pretty much all of us, use Springbank 10-year-old, and they keep a set number of bottles aside every month for wholesale customers.
That's handy, because yeah, I've been in that queue before, by the way.
That's crazy.
So for anyone that hasn't seen or heard, which I doubt there's not anyone left in Scotland, your chocolates are going to be in the 2024 Oscars Everybody Wins gift bag, which is brilliant. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Can you just talk us through how all that happened? Because I can imagine it was, I don't know whether or not you were surprised, but was it a bit of a surprise?
Yeah, it was a big surprise. So when I was actually right back at the very beginnings of the business, when I was sitting in my friend's sweet shop thinking about how to make chocolates and how to brand the business, like what name to give it and everything else, I had the main idea in my head was I wanted to look eco-friendly luxury was what I wanted it to embody. And I thought I really wanted to look not out of place in the Oscars goodie bag. That was the thought that was going through my head the whole time. So yeah, I kind of feel like I've manifested a little bit, because it was just super randomly, like 2 years ago, I got a message on LinkedIn, and the people that organise it messaged and said, hey, would you like to be involved in this? You know, but at that point they messaged, and it was the beginning of January they'd messaged, and they were asking about that year. And I thought, I've only got a month and a half to get everything organised. Like, it just would not have been enough time. And I'd only been in business 2 years. So I thought, I don't feel comfortable doing it this year, but I definitely do want to do it. So can I come back to you in a year or two? And they said, yeah, definitely. So I signed up to do it this year, this time last year. So before the Oscars last year, I contacted them and said, I definitely want to do it next year. So yeah, I've been planning for this all year long, which is funny because I've been planning it so long, I feel like a little bit of the excitement's gone, because I've been thinking about it for so long. But then I quite often like bump into people or speak to people like yourself, and they're like, oh, it's so exciting. I'm like, yeah, it is. And it keeps coming back.
Yeah. I've got them here. You've created, and thank you for sending these, you've created an awards collection of chocolates. So do you want to just talk us through what is in them? And was there a requirement for you to do this, or was it just to supply X number of boxes of whatever you wanted?
Yeah, so they had no idea I was going to do this at all. They just saw the chocolates and said, could you provide us with chocolates for the goodie bag? And I said, yeah, that's fine. And then immediately I was like, I'm going to make special chocolates for this. Because I knew I wanted to make flavours that were going to be relevant to the most highly nominated movies. So I've got a wee notebook, and I've been tracking what movies are most likely to be nominated all year long. So I've made flavours specific to the movies that I thought were going to be the most highly nominated, and thankfully turned out to be the most highly nominated. So I've got ones for Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Poor Things, Barbie, Oppenheimer and The Holdovers. And that's them there.
Yeah, so they look amazing. So do you want to talk me through the different films and the different chocolates?
So The Killers of the Flower Moon, I kind of wanted it to be like rich, because you know there's the money aspect, but also the land is rich with oil and everything. So it's a dark caramel ganache, and then it's just a plain dark shell, but it's splattered with the colours that are most commonly found in the flowers of the Osage Nation for the movie set. So that's quite cool. So it's like splattered with greens and pinks and yellows. And then Maestro is a salt and pepper kind of melt-away. So it's quite kind of hard. I can cut it into wee squares and then I dip it, and I put a wee musical note pattern on top. So it kind of plays into the, you know, it's all about him being a conductor and plays piano. So I quite like the musical theme there. And then it's salt and pepper as well, because I don't know if you've seen the film, but it's a couple that are very different, but still kind of pair well together and they still love each other. So I thought, I was trying to think of racking my brain what flavours are similar but together, and so salt and pepper was what I landed on for that. And I'm quite happy with it. I think it might be one of my favourites in the box.
So if you carry on talking, I'm going to just try this salt and pepper one because it sounds delicious. They all look amazing, by the way. And I must say, I have tried your chocolates before, and for anyone that's wondering the free from kind of vegan aspect, you would literally never know. Like, I am not vegan, and I think they're delicious. So thank you very much. So do you want to carry on, and I'll try and eat this quietly in the background?
And then so one of the other ones was Poor Things, and it was a real struggle for me because most of the others I'd been able to see the films beforehand, but Poor Things, it didn't come out in Campbelltown anyway. It didn't come out until after I had to post off the chocolates to the VIPs. And I was like, what flavour am I going to do? How am I going to know whether I've picked the right flavour? So all year long, I was thinking I'll do passion fruit caramel because I know there's a lot of sex scenes in the movie and it's a very kind of passionate film. I'd read the book and I know that she's kind of learning all about life and she's excited. So I was like, passion fruit caramel will work. But then I had a few people say, oh, I don't know if it will. So I posted a thing on Instagram on my stories just saying, has anyone seen the film? Can you tell me what flavours you think would work? And everyone said custard tart. So I was like, right, fine, I'll do custard tart. So that was a kind of random shot in the dark, Hail Mary, but it paid off because I've now seen the film and yet I can't think, there's no other flavour I would have done than custard tart. So it's like a soft white chocolate ganache on the inside with a wee bit of cinnamon, a wee bit of nutmeg and some custard flavouring just to kind of make it that kind of creamy custardy way. And it's in like a wee pie case thing that's milk chocolate shell. And it has a wee dusting of cinnamon over the top as well. And then Barbie, it is a pink sparkly heart. It's all like white chocolates coloured with a wee bit of pink in it just to kind of make it pink for Barbie. Obviously, I couldn't have done anything else. And then it's our strawberry and rose filling in the inside. I'd seen lots of outfits that Margot Robbie had worn on the press tour. And there was a few of them that featured strawberries and then a few others that featured roses. And I thought, well, they're both pink and they're both quite feminine flavours. So that's how I went with that one. And my brother, who hates rose, says that that is his favourite chocolate in the box. So I feel like I've done okay with that one, so I'm quite happy. And then Oppenheimer is, it's like a dark chocolate chili ganache on the insides. It's quite hard ganache, so I can roll it into a ball. And then I dip it in yellow chocolate. So it's like white chocolate with a wee bit of colouring for yellow. I dip it in yellow chocolate with popping candy through it. So that when you bite into it, it kind of explodes. You immediately get that like explosion from the popping candy. And then as you're eating it, the warmth of the chili comes out. So it's kind of like a wee afterburn, which is I'm quite happy with as well. It worked. I had in my head that that's what I was going to do and just hoped that it would work. It did, thankfully. So I'm quite happy with that one as well. I'm not a huge fan of popping candy, I've got to say. I'm a massive chicken. I'm like a toddler. So it always gives me a bit of a fright when it explodes. So if you just like half bite into it, you kind of get a bit of a fright because it like bubbles on your lips. But I quite like that too because it's a big bomb. So it kind of makes sense that it's a punchy chocolate.
I've got that one now. Sorry. I'm just going to, it's popping in case the mic picks it up.
And then the last one, the holdovers. It's set in the 1970s, and I think they actually used old film reel or an approximation of old film reel for it, so it felt kind of aged. It was a more kind of simple time and everything, and any chocolates you got back then would have been plain, so I knew I didn't want to do any colours or anything fancy for that. So it's just a plain dark chocolate shell. It has a wee laurel wreath pattern on top because the main character is a professor who teaches history and like classics. And I thought, well, laurel wreath works for that as well because, you know, it's sort of an ancient kind of Roman, Grecian kind of thing. And then there's a scene in the film where they have cherries and ice cream. And I thought it's quite a kind of biggish scene. And I thought that'd be a great flavour to do. So I've done a cherry pâte de fruits and then a sort of white chocolate ice cream ganache in the bottom. So you kind of get both at the same time.
Well, I've just tried, while you've been talking, I have tried the Maestro one, which is delicious, and you can really taste the pepper. It's like really substantial, but you can really taste the pepper, which is lovely. And the popping candy one, you're right, it's really, it is quite explosive and that sort of pinging off in your mouth and then the chilli comes through. So really, really nice, lovely. And yeah, like I say, you would never know that you were having something that was dairy-free and all that type of thing. So yeah, they're delicious and they look amazing. And you must be really excited to think that all these famous people are going to be like, well, here's your chocolates.
Yeah. So yeah, when you asked earlier if they knew I was going to do a flavoured, like special edition chocolates for it, they had no idea whatsoever. And I actually saw a post just recently on one of their LinkedIns and they were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it's so cool that it's all like themed to the movies and everything else. And I was kind of looking back in the years before and nobody else does this. Most people do like maybe one solid flavor that represents something, but yeah, it's kind of, it has been a huge undertaking. But they get these big goodie bags. They must get lots of freebies. So I wanted to do something different that they might actually pick up and be like, oh, this is interesting. I might, you know, might be interested in that. So, yeah, I'm really excited to think that my chocolates are going to be in Bradley Cooper's house. Like what? That's crazy. From this tiny town in Campbelltown as well. It's not like in, you know, the west coast of Scotland, middle of nowhere, it feels like most times. It's just crazy.
Yeah. You never know. You might have some of them come to visit after off the back of it.
Yeah. And my mum said that. She was like, can you imagine if one of them came into the shop? Like, I would be raging because I'm hardly ever in the shop these days, so I would miss them.
So for anyone that wants to try these, are you selling them through your shop and website?
Yeah. So they're still on the website. I think I was going to do them up until the Oscars, but is that they've actually been so popular and I've had so many people inquiring about them that I think I'm going to keep going for a little bit longer, maybe even right through this whole summer.
Nice. Yeah, because it'll take people a while to see the films, I suppose. So nice to sit down and have a chocolate as you're watching the film. So
Yeah.
So obviously after the Oscar season, we're going to head very quickly into Easter, which is the end of March. Are you doing anything for Easter within your business? And do you have any sort of tips for people who are like buying chocolates for Easter presents?
I do Easter eggs and I do little boxes of milk chocolate and white chocolate bunnies and eggs and a few things like that. So yeah, and lollipops as well. They've been really popular. So I'm just going to keep doing them this year. I had them on pre-order. They're actually still on pre-order. So yeah, I actually would suggest to people that they buy their Easter stuff earlier this year, because I've noticed a lot of businesses like mine kind of selling out faster and faster. So I think people are looking for little independent businesses to buy from for holidays like Christmas or Valentine's or Easter. So yeah, I would recommend buying earlier this year,
which is really nice that they're seeking out you guys instead of just, you know, picking up something from the supermarket.
Yeah, definitely, I'm very grateful.
Do you have a favorite chocolate? Is that a bit like asking what your favorite child would be?
Kind of. It changes depending on my mood. Some days it's one, some days another. I'm a big fan of the classic salted caramel. I really like that one still. It sometimes has accidents in the workshop. I'll be like, oh, this one didn't work, I'll just need to eat it. But then of the Oscars box, I think, yeah, right now it's between Maestro and the Holdovers. I'm a big cherry fan. I always used to love cherries when I was younger. So yeah, that's my two favourites from that box.
And is there anything coming up in 2024 that you want to sort of mention, or any sort of future plans or hopes and dreams? I feel like this, the Oscars thing must be such a huge thing to achieve already.
Yeah, the Oscars. So when I first signed up to do the Oscars, I thought, or the gift bag, I thought, you know, it'd be good if I just get a little bit of extra promotion. You know, it might not get much publicity, you know, just if it reminds locals in Campbelltown that I exist, that would be fantastic. Not for a single second did I think it would go this global. Now, I've already had people come down from the Associated Press. I have a German film crew coming tomorrow to film me in the shop, in the workshop. And I'm just like, how is this happening? So I did have a few plans for 2024, but I'm now like, it's kind of all changed because I've had a few big, big inquiries for wholesale orders. And so now I'm thinking 2024 is probably going to have to involve upscaling to like a bigger. So currently it's just like just a step above a home kitchen. I do have a dedicated workshop, dedicated area across the other side of town, but I outgrew it very quickly. And now it's way too small, especially for these bigger orders if they did happen. So yeah, I'm actually have my brother looking at workshop units in Glasgow. So I might be moving up closer to you in the near future.
Well, you'll need to let me know where, because I'll happen to hang around in case there are any accidents in the kitchen.
You can come and help pack when it gets really busy.
Oh no, that's great. So yeah, that's what an achievement. Just yeah, it's lovely, and it's nice they're picking sort of, I mean, they probably do this all the time, but independent sort of and businesses in Scotland as well. You just think, you know, it's a big American institution, you wouldn't really expect it. So it's lovely that it's happening. So
yeah, definitely, it's really exciting. Yeah.
Thank you very much, and good luck with it all, and have a nice Easter. And yeah, well, thanks very much.
Perfect, thank you. Yeah, it was fun to have a chat.
Yeah, and thank you for the chocolates. I'm going to have the rest of my cup of tea. I am now joined by Kim Cameron, owner of The Gin Bothy. Hi, Kim, how are you?
Great, thanks. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, good, thank you. Before we get into the star-studded Oscars news about your gin, could you just tell us a little bit about your company and how it all came to be? Because I know you've been described as an accidental gin maker in the past, so that sounds like something that's quite interesting.
Yeah, I guess accidental because I entered a jar of jam into the World Championships. Now, there is such a thing. It was held in Dundee 10 years ago. And I won a category with one of my jams, and I converted a wee bothy up the glen called the Jam Bothy. And I was following the seasonal calendar of Angus, which is where I'm from, with amazing raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, slowberries. And we created a range of jams. And one of the byproducts of jam, as I'm sure a lot of you will know, is that you have fruit and juice left over. And my mum in her wisdom said, well, rather than waste it, why don't you add it to gin? Because that's what we used to do. So the long and short of the story is I started to add it to gin, and there was more people coming up the glen for the gin than the jam, and the gin bothy, jam bothy kind of took a bit of a back seat and jam bothy took over, and that was 10 years ago now.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. So I bet you didn't actually think that was going to happen. I mean, I know gin's been on the up for a while, but like, could you foresee that this is what you'd be doing now?
No, I mean, at those days, we were one of the first producers of fruit liqueurs. So we had a range of full-strength spirits we developed into with our gin, our rum, and bringing whiskey to market this year, and also still producing our jam. And this year we were delighted to, well, 2023, we won gold, silver and bronze at the World Jam Festival. So we've come full circle from doing jam and gin, so spirit and jam now.
So your big news in the last couple of months was that you were approached to put a gin in the Oscars goodie bag. How did all that come about? And was it one of those things that you kind of thought, what is even happening?
Oh, it's a super pinch me moment. It actually started 2 years ago when we launched our original and our gunshot gin in America. There was a gap in the goodie bag, and there was some Scottish businesses that had supported the goodie bag. So you had a stay in a castle and they were looking for a spirit. So I let them taste our spirit, and it was actually 2 years ago, and I couldn't get enough spirit into America at that point. So they said, look, we really want to work with you and we'll roll it into this year. So that's why it's 2024. So absolutely delighted to be able to say that our original gin, which we've done a special distillation for them, is in the Oscar nominee goodie bags. So each of the Oscar nominees, so there's 25 bottles of original gin in batch 1 of 24, has gone into the goodie bag. So you've got a real taste of Scotland in that bag. You've got heather, milk thistle, Scots, pine, rosemary, all in the original gin. So absolutely excited to see who picks that up, and hopefully somebody shares that they enjoy it and they've got a little bit of Scotch gin.
And does it feel really sort of surreal to think that, you know, people like Bradley Cooper and Emma Stone are going to be drinking your gin?
Oh, absolutely. I'm so proud to be able to showcase Scottish gin over there. And, you know, we talk about a bothy being the home in the hills. So this is from our Scottish home to the Hollywood home in the hills. And if any of them, I know a lot of them don't have social media, but to have Cillian Murphy, Bradley Cooper, Jodie Foster, any of these people with our Scottish gin for a small independent producer is a really big deal.
And you said, so you've done a special batch of your original gin. Were you asked to do that, or was that just something that you wanted to do?
Well, we wanted to do something that was a little bit different, and we wanted it to be more than just our traditional gin, which is a multi-award winning gin anyway. But I thought, how do we make it a bit more special for the Oscar nominees? So yeah, batch 1 of 24, it's 300 bottles in the distillation, and 25 of them have gone over to the US. So we still have some available if anybody wants to get their hands on an Oscar gin in the UK.
No, I think you definitely will get some takers on that. How do you sort of plan to like leverage that now? Are you going to sort of promote that, what you've got left from that batch, or are you going to make maybe another special one for people, or what are your plans sort of to sort of push it forward from this point?
Well, I hadn't really planned to do anything exciting, to be honest. And my team, so I'm supported by a team of 19 women, and they were like, we've got to go for this. So we've got little Oscar statues that will go in with each of the batch 1 of 24 of our original gin. We've been amazing support from local customers, from our wholesale and retail customers. and also from press. So we've had some great PR on the back of it. So little Oscar nominees, and we've done Oscar recipe cards, so you can celebrate your Oscar parties with different cocktail combinations using our original gin.
Do you know any of those that you could share with us just now? Or do you have a favourite cocktail for the Oscars?
Well, we've done some like Hollywood Negronis. You'll have to wait and see. There's some really special ones there. And we partnered with some bartenders to do some Hollywood A-lister celebrity kind of inspired cocktails. So there's three that we've recommended that would work really well with your Oscar party. Our original gin is 100% natural, it's sugar-free, and it's amazing with different flavour combinations. We've paired it, my personal favourite's probably the Negroni, so I've got to recommend that.
Yeah, a classic. I feel like that's something that Bradley Cooper might have.
I would love Bradley Cooper to have that. Imagine, he's just sitting there with one Irish Scottish gin and a cocktail. I mean, who would want more than that?
So you mentioned there a whisky. Is that something that you've got coming up this year that you could maybe talk about?
Yeah, so we've been working for quite a few years with Gunshot. So Gunshot is my best-selling product, and it's an infused gin with cinnamon, cloves, nutmeg, spice. So it actually looks like a whisky, but it is a gin. And especially for the export market, as much as they like gin, they're much more geared towards whisky. So we've moved our Gunshot as our lead product into whisky. It's just called Gunshot Whisky, and we launched that this coming week at Scotland's showcasing event in Edinburgh, and it'll be really interesting to see what the market thinks of this. We all love it, and it means that we've got Gunshot gin and we've got a Gunshot whisky. So excited to see what the rest of our customer base think of that.
When the Oscars goodie bag people asked you before and you couldn't get the gin into America, is that a common problem? Is that something that just one of those things that happened?
It's really hard to get spirit into the US unless you have an importer and a distributor appointed. Now, we are in 23 states in the US and we sell through Total Wines, which is our retailer that we work with. But actually to get gin or any spirit state between each state is quite complicated. So we just couldn't get enough into California in time for them to do the Oscar bag, nominee bag last year. So that's why this year it gave us a bit more time to make sure we had the right product in the right place, and we were all ready for what they wanted to do this year's Oscar nominees. Super excited about that.
And if the company, if Distinctive Assets came to you next month and said, which other Scottish businesses would you recommend for next year for the bag? Is there anyone that springs to mind that you're like, oh, you have to get these people?
I think this year they've gone with a tequila, so they've got a really high-end tequila. I think we were selected because we had a really small batch. You know, we've done a limited edition batch for them, and that's really important to that market. So anybody that's producing small batch, something really special, it's worth approaching to say, look, are you interested? Because that's what makes it special to them. Something that's, you know, not on the high street kind of vibe, something a wee bit different, is definitely appealing to their customers, and hopefully Bradley Cooper too.
And have you got any other exciting plans for 2024?
We've got some really exciting collaborations. And I think for me, as a Scottish producer, the more collaborations we can do with other Scottish businesses, I think that's going to be the secret for 2024. So we launched our Bothy Butter last year. We're working with some really cool recipes around, you know, rum butters and introducing our rum into butter. We've got our Jam Bothy range. There's some, just won another couple of awards with that. So we'd like to do a little bit more there. I think whisky for me is going to take up most of my time this year, and really excited about getting involved with Tartan Week, which is coming up in April. So we're over in America. I'm over in Barbados at the Scottish Celtic Festival over there in May, and then back into the States into autumn. So yeah, lots of travelling for us this year, lots of collaboration, and really hopefully paving the way for other Scottish producers to open up those markets. But yeah, lots of new things, but not anything that I can tell you about totally at the moment.
The trip to Barbados sounds like something Kelly and I should come on.
Well, do you know there's thousands of people go over every year to the Celtic Festival. There's as many people playing the bagpipes and drums, and I sing Bothy, traditional songs from the northeast. So I'm asked to sing at quite a few festivals And honestly, there's as many Scottish people as passionate out with Scotland as in Scotland. So I definitely encourage you, if you're into Highland Games or Celtic festivals, go and experience some outside of Scotland, because people are so passionate about Brand Scotland.
Definitely. So anyone who wants to try your gins, who hasn't tried your gins or wants to continue to try your gins, where can they get all the information and potentially possibly get a bottle that the Oscars are also getting?
Get a bottle of the Oscar gin. So we've got an amazing supported network of retailers, delis, farm shops throughout Scotland, mostly in Scotland, not as many in the south, but you can buy with online delivery, just www.ginbossy.co.uk, and that will give you access to our full range there. And if you're listening from the States, Total Wines is still our retailer that we have our original and our Gunshot gin in there, and we are looking to expand the US network this year. And I'll be over at Tartan Week. So if you are listening from America, hopefully see you at Tartan Week. I wish I could say I could see you at the Oscars, but yeah, you're more likely to see me at one of the farmers markets or shows in the UK than in the US.
Well, thank you very much. And I feel like at some point we will need to talk to you more about the jam. I didn't realise that there was a jam championship. I knew there's obviously, you know, Scotch pies and sausage rolls and porridge making, but the jam's a new one on me. That sounds amazing. I make jam, but I'm terrible at it.
Well, do you know, for me, the traditional things that in our generation, if we lose, I think we've lost something really special. And because we're surrounded by the most amazing fruit in Angus, jam was our natural start, I suppose. But we do some jam making classes, so if you ever want to come along, you're more than welcome. But Jam Bothy is very much, you can buy us in lots of different retailers across the UK. And yeah, we just won gold, silver and bronze and picked up at Farm Shop and Deli Awards. Another couple of awards there too. So really excited about how jam is going to develop this year. And we're working on a chutney too. So if jam's maybe not your thing, you can always come and try your hand at chutney.
I'm terrible at making that as well. So I need to come and get some
tips. You can have some gin for that, because after we've finished soaking the raspberries in the gin, we'll make it back into jam, so there's no waste. So you've got raspberry and gin jam. Maybe you'd be better at that.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe after a couple of gins, I definitely would be. But yeah, it's living in a city as well. You go out and you think you want to do all these things, but there's not the availabilities when you're in the countryside. So, because I'm from Fife, so yeah, I think between the two of us, we've got quite a lot of good soft fruit. But yeah, I need to up my skills. Congratulations again, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens after the Oscars, or who's going to post what and who loves what. And I'm really hoping that between you and Fetch Your Chocolates, that, you know, somebody really famous is like, these are great, let's post about them. So
yeah, fingers crossed. It's good for everybody and good for Brand Scotland too, for other producers.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to Fiona and Kim for being my guests on this episode, and thanks to you two for listening. Please remember to rate, review and subscribe so you never miss an episode of Scran. Scran is a Laudable podcast that's co-produced and hosted by me, Rosalind Erskine, and co-produced, edited and mixed by Kelly Crichton.